Excellent. An ale for me. And for my officers. In fact, ales for everyone.
Oh. Turn backwards. Rick and work. And Will.
Oh, yes.
Hey everyone, this is a supplemental episode of Turn Backward with us. I'm Richard and I'm with Will and Rick.
Hello.
Hello.
So yeah, this is a supplemental episode on top of the last Discovery episode we did, because there's been a trailer for the new series.
There has.
Which immediately rendered a lot of our speculation in the previous podcast null and void. Hooray!
Yes, it was beautiful time on our part to release it literally the day after the trailer and big news came out. In fact, I think like 2 or 3 days after we recorded it, there was some casting changes.
So, I guess it was kind of inevitable, I guess.
It was, unless we can edit and put out the same day, it's always going to happen.
Yeah, but that's why we're recording this podcast, and we may, and as well in the future, if there is some other big news for Discovery that we feel like we absolutely must voice our opinions on.
It's a good time capsule as well for what people thought might be happening in the show.
That's right.
And what's actually happening.
Yeah. Yes, well, we shall look back on these and laugh when we're 3 series into Discovery and things are very different to what we expected. We'll laugh at our naive past selves.
So, earlier in the day that the trailer was released, they released a still of Seneca Martin Green's character, which is Michael Burnham, and Michelle Yeoh's character, which is Captain... Italian name?
Philippa Georgiou?
Greek name. Sorry.
I think... Yes, I was extremely excited by this picture. It blew me away.
People were initially...
Because it was an actual picture, actual filming had happened. I think there was a thing, there was characters, and you guys were like less impressed.
Yeah, I was underwhelmed by it. I was like, ah, oh, some people in a what looks like a CG desert. Yawn.
Oh,
I wasn't too fussed, but it was nice to see a picture. But that was about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was hanging on there being a trailer, and you know, it's like. It's like if you're looking at pornography, a still image isn't good enough these days. If it's not a video, then, you know.
That's a good point. I found one of my old Playboys a little while ago, and I was like, well, this is all right, but I'm just onto different stuff now.
Yeah, that's it. You know, we're not in the 90s anymore.
Anyway.
So anyway, there was a trailer later on that day, thank goodness. Yeah, what did we think of the trailer? Let's just jump straight into that.
Visually, I thought it was great. It really reminded me of the new films in terms of how it looked.
Mm.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It felt pretty cinematic.
It did. It looked the production values are very high on it.
Yeah,
and it had a very
there's a bit of lens flare.
Yeah, and that, I think that in particular sort of connects it with the Kelvinverse movies.
And it's a good touchstone. I mean, it makes sense, I think, because for some people, because they definitely want this series to appeal to new fans. They want it to be a wide audience. So, in terms of its visuals, it's got that connection, not canonically. But,
well, I think there was certain. There's an effort there. Straight from that still. I was looking very closely in the communicator that someone had, I think Michelle Yeoh had on her belt pouch, and you could see elements design which go not just the original series but back to the Cage when they had a slightly larger different style communicator which had the gold grille flip and the hinges were set slightly outside and looked much. It was very reminiscent of that.
True.
So I'm thinking, okay, there are design elements here that are sort of consistent.
The uniform seemed to be a progression from what we saw in Enterprise, but Rick, you noticed that they are very similar to a character that we see on an episode of called the Galileo 7.
Right? Yes, yeah, there's the, I can't remember what it is.
He's like the galactic bigwig. He's a galactic bigwig. It's a season 2 episode, right, of original series.
Galileo 7 series 1.
Series 1.
But yeah.
And they hadn't quite worked out the Federation at that point, I don't think, so it was...
No, but those almost identical costumes.
So...
But the elements are there. Yes, I think it's like there's the overall blue suit look of Enterprise. There's department colours in a sort of a funky things, but they are colour coded to department. And we have the Starfleet symbol and rank pips are actually on that badge.
Mm-hmm.
You see in close ups, and they seem to follow the pattern. Captain's 4 pips, Commander's 3, and so on.
ghoul.
So they are maintaining a lot of the internal logic.
And in terms of the what we get in terms of a story for the series, it seems that we get little bits of information rather than an information dump.
Oh, it's a very, very tantalising hint of some things. Obviously, there's some big deals with the Klingons.
Yep. The first officer character seems to be maybe raised on Vulcan by Sarek.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely either raised by or educated by.
Yeah.
For definite.
Maybe she's related. Has a human tongue, so she'll never learn to talk Vulcan. Probably.
No. Maybe she's related to...
Well, I like that.
Amanda Grayson. Is it Amanda Grayson that's Sarek's first wife?
Yeah.
Maybe she's a relation that comes to live with them for some reason.
Yeah,
because then people will say, "Well, why didn't Spock mention? Why didn't Spock mention this character?
Well, why didn't Spock mention his half brother?
He's notoriously kind of
he's
tight-lipped,
private, right? Yeah, he's a yeah.
The thing about the human tongue does harken back to something Spock said when he declared someone wouldn't be able to pronounce his first name. So maybe there is a subset of Vulcan language that's really difficult
Jim
for humans.
Jim,
I have no
Jim
idea
Spock,
what it is.
Dave. Jim Spock.
Yeah, we can pronounce with our stupid human tongues.
Yeah. I can barely pronounce my own name.
We see some of the new alien characters. There's...
So does Vulcans have like a weird like double-jointed tongue then or something? Is there something about the tongue that means they can, say, make sounds that we can't? I'm just speculating.
Maybe, but now, as soon as you said that, I'm immediately thinking of... I think it's the things that probably aren't acceptable for this I'll save it for the Star Trek Nights podcast.
Just going to say, it then seems a shame that would only happen once every 7 years. But yes, sorry Rick.
Some of the new characters we see, Doug Jones's character,
yes,
who's a race of aliens that were kind of engineered to detect death. We see a Robo Man or somebody wearing like a Daft Punk style helmet.
Yeah, that looks so cool.
A man who's kind of semi robot. He has some kind of robo stuff on his head.
Yeah.
He's a bit like the Robo Man we see in the second Star Trek film.
What's his name? Science Officer 0781.
I love him.
Yeah.
0781, you tell the best stories.
That's very in keeping with Star Trek, isn't it? Having just a bit of bumpiness on the face.
True,
to indicate a different race.
We see maybe an insectoid type character on the sand planet. I think there's
it looks like is that a hood or is that actually like an exoskeleton carapace thing?
But to be fair, I mean, I think that including a character like that highlights something about, because some people maybe they raise concerns about the look of some of the things, like the look of the Klingons, which doesn't bother me at all. But if you go through the history of Star Trek, there were things that they wanted to do. It's just they weren't able to. So the Borg were originally going to be insectoid, and I imagine they had ideas for, creatures that looked crazy, but they just couldn't render them in the 60s or in the 80s through the 90s.
Can we address that then briefly? The whole things don't look how people expect.
Doesn't really bother me.
It doesn't bother me at all. The Klingons in this have got forehead ridges, and they don't have hair, which is not a big deal. But yeah, there may be reasons that they don't look the same as what we've traditionally come to expect. But there's also the whole thing that the Klingons in the original series were done a certain way. The motion picture comes along, Gene Roddenberry's suddenly got a whole bunch of money to spend, which he didn't have before. So he's upgraded the look. Next Generation comes along, he's got a whole bunch more money to spend. So the whole thing looks different. This is just what Star Trek has always done.
Mm. And there's some concept art from the 70s, which looks a lot like these Klingons. So
it is, yeah. Their armour.
It doesn't really bother me. It's just, someone's been given a story to tell, and they're telling it. It's their own little way of, just bringing it to the screens.
How it's presented on the screen is purely dependent on the time, the technique, the money, and all those factors that go into it. And Star Trek always improves the things it's done before and upgrades them and enhances them and changes them. And it's, people complain every single time.
Little things, like little touches are nice, like working, or my robo voice is going insufficient, working, or that little kind of rhombus on the console that flashes red when something's wrong.
Yeah.
I really like that in the... So, but, I'm not... beholden to that.
But as a counterpoint to that, On the other side of it, is there anyone here who kind of thought, oh, do you know what? I really like the look of Star Trek. Really like all the designs. But do you know what? The Klingons need a redesign. Stupid old weird-looking Klingons. So I hope in the next series the Klingons are redesigned. No one thought that. Klingons look absolutely fine.
Are you playing Devil's Aqueduct?
A little bit. I get what you're saying about, and you know, to be fair, it is a TV series. It's not real life, every incarnation of Star Trek things change a little, and maybe a TV series shouldn't be beholden to what's gone before. If they think they can add a little twist to make something look different, I hope there's just a line of explanation as to why the Klingons look different. They come from a different region.
They look like it looks like there's some kind of resurrection, or they're in stasis. It looks to me like it might be some Klingons that have been in stasis for like 1,000 years or something.
There are theories that these are sort of early old proto Klingons that have been drifting in space, frozen or something like that.
And a cult wakes them up, finds their ship.
Yeah. Or maybe the Shenzhou wakes them up accidentally investigating whatever it is, because they talk about finding some unknown object and having to investigate it.
Which is perhaps the discovery
all the scenes with the Klingons we see, it looks pretty cool.
It does look pretty cool.
Like the set design looks great. It's a beautiful looking series.
And I thought to me it looks like the trailer is maybe just a trailer for the first. If the first episode was a two-parter, it sort of looks like what we're seeing is from one story. Mm. And I just that would sort of make sense maybe from a production point of view that the episodes that they would have closer to completion would be the pilot. So I wonder if the trailer I wonder if we're seeing anything else of the series in that
trailer. I think we're seeing only very much from stuff from the first episode. In answer to your thing of does anyone actually sat there and said, oh, I think the Klingons need to be redesigned, I think we've got used to Klingons as they are, and I think maybe there is something to be said for saying, okay, the Klingons are going to be the bad guys here. Let's beef them up. Let's make them look scary as. Let's make them look terrifying. Because, you know, actually, when you go through all the stuff with Next Gen and DS9, the Klingons almost become a little bit cuddly.
Yeah.
In a way. They become so familiar.
Worf is an adorable character. You just want to give him a hug.
I think after all that, you maybe need to say, okay, we're going back and maybe we need to just give those Klingons a little bit more grrr factor than they had.
And again, arguing against my own point, you could say that if you look at season one Next Gen and then season seven, Worf looks pretty different. The makeup evolved even in the same TV series.
He changed his haircut as well, though.
He did.
Yeah.
Well, he was looking pretty pretty, you know. He had lovely hair. Very bouffant.
He won that beauty pageant, doesn't he?
He always has that sash on. Yeah.
That's not what he...
Does he win every year, or is he just holding on to an old victory?
It's not a Battleth tournament he wins. It's Miss Klingon 2367. Another thing I really liked was that the scene where you're looking at it, like a sensor screen, and it just lights up with Klingon symbols.
Oh my god, I love that.
And the kind of frantic nature of kind of getting into like a situation where you're going to have to fight, because in most of the series we've seen so far, it's a bit too calm sometimes when they go into battle.
Yeah, especially in Next Gen.
Well, to be fair, in Next Generation, they are in a ginormous ship. About five times bigger than any other ship in the quadrant. So,
and that reminded me a lot of the Kelvin verse films as well, especially in the first film where the Kelvin goes up against the Narada. It really reminded me of that kind of frantic, almost panic, where you're up against something you have to think
because
quickly.
I think like that it's a blood, oh man, we are really outmatched here, because I've just saw 17 Klingon symbols pop up on that screen. So I really like actually these, I don't know if it's an intentional throwback, but when Michelle Yeoh's character says, "Inform Starfleet, we've engaged the Klingons," I always think of Best of Both Worlds when Picard says,
"We've engaged the Klingons." Yeah.
So that was one of those moments. That's
All in all, a great trailer.
Yes, very much.
And it's told us a lot that we didn't know. I mean, it's given us a first look at a lot of the characters. Although Jason Isaacs is not there.
The Discovery is not there.
We only see that's a good point.
We only see the USS Shenzhou, and that's kind of like, oh, how... It seems very strange not to see the title ship in the first trailer.
On the other hand, it's nice that they're holding something back for the series. I'm looking forward to seeing, maybe that reveal won't come until, I know, halfway into the second episode. I'm pretty exciting when it happens. Maybe they've got a big money shot when you first see the ship, and they've thought, you know what, let's not waste that on the trailer, let's hold it back for.
I mean, I'm assuming something like however the battle with the Klingons plays out, that message to Starfleet gets through and they dispatch the Discovery as backup. Whether the Discovery gets there after our new hero solves the situation or whatever happens, I don't know. But I'm kind of thinking Discovery shows up near the end on this. But
do you think... part of me thinks that maybe Michelle Yeoh's character won't survive beyond the pilot. I think maybe she'll get killed.
We were debating this because she's a fairly big name and she's surely got a lot of other things on her plate, and maybe she's
doing awesome stunts.
Or maybe Jason Isaacs will show up and then be killed off in the pilot.
Maybe. You know what's funny about Jason Isaacs is that he doesn't appear in this trailer, but you know what he does appear in?
Here we go.
Event Horizon.
Yes, Event Horizon. I did declare previously that he wasn't in it, and I am apparently wrong. But I don't care, because I'm not normally wrong about Star Trek, and that's what's important. I think that's also what this
is
about.
I'm sorry, guys. I couldn't let it slide. I couldn't. I was like, shall I be diplomatic and just say, off podcast, that you know what, guys, I was right. Like, no, I was right. I'm going to put it in the podcast.
For anyone who's not watching in the 24th century on the holodeck, Rick has a smug face on now.
I do. I rarely get to wear it. Because I'm rarely right.
Have we got any other sort of first impressions from that trailer?
Well, I'm not really very good at impressions.
I think I'm going to love it. I think I'll love it. It'd be great.
I'm extremely excited. I really enjoyed the significance that this is a very big event. This is a very mainstream series. It's a big deal to get this trailer. And it opens on two women of colour, which I think is a fantastic move. This show that actually
Will
we're going to go very...
with two women of colour.
Oh, Rick.
Hey, you talked to them. You mentioned saucy material at the beginning of this very podcast.
I did,
you said the term money shot. We all know where that's from.
I don't think I did say
you
money
just,
shot.
You did.
No, I'm fairly sure that the words money shot weren't uttered.
Hey, listen, I think people enjoy
them. You've soured the milk.
I think I've just made this a little bit fruity. And it's, people enjoy a bit of fruit now.
There's no.
You've got to have five pieces of fruit in it.
Oh,
you just served one up.
You just served all five.
So, trying to pull us back from the greengrocers to the Star Trek podcast.
Good, I like it. Well, if someone said to me, in 2017, you're going to get a Star Trek series with special effects that are pretty much similar to a movie, I would have said, you, sir, are talking my language.
Well, you know, when you think about it, when you look back at in 1987... when Next Generation started up, in comparison to what we'd had before, Star Trek-wise, that was pretty much movie-level effects and stuff, and it was a big load of changes. So I think we're lucky enough that we're going through a very similar thing now.
Yeah.
And it's very enjoyable. I'm extremely excited about it.
I'm gonna put my cynical hat on for a moment and say I still feel that I would have preferred a series set in a timescale, you know, following Voyager, and still this wouldn't be my first choice of time period for Star Trek, but that's you know, I didn't get to make that decision. It's been made, and
we've got what we've got. And at the end of the day, as long as it's good, entertaining, and done well and true to the spirit of Star Trek, then I shall find it a very enjoyable series.
Yeah, I mean,
if this is successful.
Yeah, apart from everywhere in America, it's on Netflix. So if Netflix love it, they could expand. They could do whatever they want. I mean, I think it's a perfect series for getting people back into it.
this is the thing. It's got to appeal to a wider audience, because you can't just aim it solely at existing Star Trek fans.
Because there's so much competition now. When Voyager ended, when Enterprise ended, you know, event television still kind of existed, but it was in its early days. And look at the things that people go crazy for now. There's Game of Thrones.
So many
of the series.
All the Marvel series.
All the Marvel series. You know, there's event television. There's an event every month.
You could argue this
very weekend, Twin Peaks is back.
Oh, is it this weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, I'm so excited.
Everything's coming back, and TV is as successful as movies. And when Star Trek was being made in its heyday, movies were the point we got to, and that's why I guess that's part of why Star Trek kind of transferred eventually to movies in terms of some of the series that it did. And the board game has changed. We're not playing chess anymore. We're playing 3D chess.
And you could argue that if Next Gen came out today and it delivered the sort of first season that it did back in 87, it may not have got to a second season. But TV was a very different sort of landscape back then. Next Gen was lucky it had the chance to get as good as it did.
The advent of streaming has hugely changed the whole playing field. So it's going to be interesting.
I am excited for having just poo-pooed on that trailer a little bit. I'm still really excited for it, and you know, we shouldn't moan about what that series isn't. Just be happy about what it is, and it does look good.
It does. It looks amazing.
There's nothing about it that makes me think, oh, I'm not sure.
No, because at the end of the day, it's all TV series. These things don't matter that much. If it really bothers you, you can rectify canon in your own head. You can come up with explanations. They will maybe well explain these differences that are upsetting people so much. But actually, the thing is, I found in the last few days, I've dwelt too much on these things that are apparently upsetting people, because they're not upsetting me.
Yeah.
And I don't know, don't really know why I feel the need to justify them for everyone else.
So. Yeah, I mean, I went on a few internet forums after having watched that trailer. There was some real rage about some of the
I've
things.
Read some comments, and it's just like, what?
And you know, they kind of put my cynicism to shame. It made my cynicism look like, I don't know,
effusive praise and excitement.
Yeah,
isn't it? It's the people who say, "Oh, this look at this, there's a lens flare. It's all
that's
JJ.
Yeah.
This is it. I'm done with Trek." Well, if you're that done, why are you on every message board and comment thread going on about it?
You ain't
done. My mum hasn't made my dinner yet.
Oh, I don't know if we've alienated half our fan base there.
Listeners, if you live with your mum, I'm sure you're not full of rage.
No, and I'm sure she'll have your dinner ready soon, so don't worry.
But, you know, you should probably, like, thank her for it. You know, a bit more appreciation for your mum. She worked hard.
Yeah.
Looking after you. The ungrateful wretch.
Oh, wreck.
That's worse than the mentions of pornography that me and Will have just made.
I don't know that it is.
I don't know. I think there's probably a whole bunch of mums out there just went, thank you. But someone realises.
It was American Mother's Day recently.
It was.
So, to all American listeners, I hope your mothers had a good time.
That was a way I wasn't expecting this podcast to end, but I think it's appropriately enough. We should probably end it.
Well, I'd like to say one more thing regarding that trailer release.
All right.
It's just in terms of the experience I had on Wednesday evening. It was evening in the UK, and I know it was afternoon when it was in America, all coming out. But I was sat there on the computer waiting for this trailer to come out, waiting to see some stuff. Twitter was exploding, everyone's going crazy. I had message boxes open to you guys and other people, and it was actually like it ended up being a very emotional experience, both to see the trailer, to realise we're getting new Star Trek, and then to be able to share this with the wider fan community, which I have been trying to engage with a bit more of late. And it was just really, really positive. Twitter can kind of be like a bit of an echo chamber, because you tend to follow people who echo your own thoughts and feelings, but it's nice because then you share these things with like-minded people, and you know, there was loads of us all there, everyone's just getting a little bit emotional, and you know, you kind of think, I wish Twitter let us hug, we should all just have hugged it out, because we're all just like so happy that after all these years we're getting Trek back on the TV. So I just like to share that I had a bit of this emotional experience there.
By contrast, I saw that trailer. I was in bed. I was almost asleep, and I checked my phone. So, oh, what's Rick going on about? There's a trailer. All right. And I watched the trailer. I was like, yeah, it's all right. It's like, Gemma, look at this. Oh, what is it? It's a new Star Trek trailer. Yeah, it's all right. And we just went to sleep.
I had trouble finding it. Someone had to help me out.
You had to call tech support.
Rick gave me full instructions about how to get to see it because it was region locked.
Yes.
I can't see it. I can't get the thing. And then he's like, here's a region free unlocked thing.
Yeah, he totally went Geordie LaForge on it. And
yeah, like frying bacon in a pan.
I want to say
thank you to you.
No problem. I just consulted my holographic recreation of a real woman. That's an intrusive element to her private life. Anyway, on that slightly creepy note,
we sign off.
That was a reference to Geordie's Adventures on the Holodeck, wasn't it?
With Leah Brahms, yes.
A real thing.
Yeah, I'm just creeped out by Geordie's romantic misadventures.
What's the meal he makes for? Fung Juli? Fing Juli? Fung Jili? I love Fung Jili. How did you know?
I don't know what Rex is talking
about. Geordie makes Leah Brahms' favourite food. It's called something like Fung Jili, right?
Something like that.
There's no such food.
There is. It's a space food, maybe.
I don't know, certain details of the episode when I recently watched it, I didn't pick up because of the cringing I was doing. But anyway, so yes, that is our Discovery supplemental edition, and we may be recording more as more details come out over the next few months.
We could have a news feature, like update feature at the beginning of each show, anytime there's an update.
We could do. We either can do that or we do supplemental. I think we have enough trouble keeping within any sort of decent time frame with our talking.
But yeah. I think
adding a feature
weekly. This will be out pretty quick smart.
This will be out blickety split.
And, yeah, that's even better.
Just the time
smart.
It takes this guy to edit it, and I pretend it takes longer to edit things than it really does. I'm like Scotty in that.
Well, you never tell how long it takes.
Oh, I could get this edit out probably maybe the day after tomorrow. I'll have this done. As I'm typing, I've got it in the other way. Just exporting. It's done already. Let's keep these dickheads hanging on for another couple of days. It's the only power I've got. Oh, that's not true. Oh,
it's true, man. It's okay.
It's not true. It takes me a little while to edit things. That's because I'm not that good at editing. There it is. It feels like we've...
Yes, I think we've reached the end
like
of this.
It feels like we ended the update a little while ago and then we've said some more things. Yes. We do that a lot.
I'm not sure they're relevant. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this little update on our feelings on Discovery after that trailer.
Mm. Yep. Take care of yourselves and we'll see you in the next episode.
Bye!
Bye!
Let's make sure that history never forgets the name.
Ten Backward?
Daddy, don't you think you should... rephrase that.
Ten Backward.
Ten Backward.
The movement would not have hurt if you were in better physical condition.
Exercise makes me sweat.